It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. Welcome in. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Eric Dinkins Podcast. This weekend, snow fell, and I was like, oh, okay, got to add that to the list of things to do. Saturday, I'm like, okay, no big deal. I'll get things done. This is what you do around the house. You do chores. You earn Pooh Bear points. Somebody rings a doorbell, and I go there, and it's three kids with shovels. And I'm like, fuck yes. And these kids were little. They're like knee high to a grasshopper. Isn't that what you say when you're old, when you're describing young people? Knee high to a grasshopper. Well, these three are three little kids. And they're like, hey, mister, can we shovel your snow? And I go, heck yes. Yes. Absolutely yes. Without a doubt. I'm like, this is like fantastic timing. I was so happy that these kids were there. So they go, you want us to do the walk? Yep. Yep. Everything. It's all yours. Do it. So they get after it. And then close the door. And then I go, you know, I need a baseline of dollar amount. You know, we didn't talk money at this point, but I wanted them. Okay. So I opened the door. I go, so has anybody else let you shovel, guys? And this guy says, yeah, this guy over here did. I go, oh, okay. How much did he give you? And he goes, a dollar. And I'm like, what the fuck? I go, a dollar? He gave you a dollar? Between three people, he gave them a buck. First of all, if I'm the dad of these little fuckers, I go over there and beat the shit out of the fucking asshole who gave three children a dollar to split three ways. It took them 1 hour to do my driveway. with three shovels. And I go, oh my God. And so I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I go, I got to get some money. So if I don't have any money, I'm going to go to the store and get these, to the ATM and get the fucking money. So, but I had, I've got a whole bunch of rolled coins. So I got three $10 rolls of quarters. And I figured, I mean, I'd love to give them actual, you know, cash, green money, but I didn't have any. So I gave them the rolled coin. And I go out there and I go, here, you get 10, you get 10, and you get 10. And I go, and don't be hung up on the details. If it's not perfect, I don't care. And I said, and if an hour, if you get to an hour of work and you're not done, don't finish it. I'll take care of the rest. You get an hour. An hour is all I don't want you to be here all day. I felt fucking horrible that some cocksucker gave these kids one fucking buck. Now, this is not, these three are not the ones, none of them is the one who came over and mowed and I paid him. And then now he refers to me as Rich Eric. By the way, I didn't know what to give him. I still kind of think 10 bucks for each of them is too low. But I guess word traveled amongst the neighborhood kids because these three know the kid that mowed earlier that gave me the name Rich Eric. And the kid who referred to me as Rich Eric, he now sees that I gave them that money, which they think is a fortune. The kid who named me Rich Eric tells his mom, hey, Rich Eric gave so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so 10 bucks. And so then mom texts me. She goes, uh-oh, the legend of Rich Eric grows. And I'm like, oh, shit. So then the next day, I've got one inch of snow. And I guess the kids are clamoring to get to my door. And sure enough, kids get to the door that I don't, is not the three that were there the day before. They made a beeline first thing in the morning to my place to see if they could shovel the one inch of snow. I'm like, oh fuck, the word is out. So, but I disappointed them because I mean, I'm going to fucking go broke. I go, well, actually, I think I'm going to shovel it today. And they're like, oh. My God. Bob says you shorted the kid that mowed. Look, I helped that kid. No, don't tell me I shorted him, you fuck. Linda says kids in my neighborhood charge 25 to 30 bucks and our driveways are short. I do it myself for the exercise. Yeah, a lot of people do. But at the time, at the day, on Saturday, I was like, this is fucking perfect. I want them to do this. And they didn't let me down because they, it wasn't the neatest job, but I didn't give a shit. They did a great job. They did exactly what I expected to happen. And I felt so bad that asshole only gave them a fucking buck. Gabe Jr. says, give the kids eggs and tell them to egg that guy's house. Oh, my God, yes. By the way, Gabe Jr. might be our youngest audience member. Gabe, how old are you again, buddy? I know you're a teenager, but what level of teenager are you? And if you are a teenager, why the fuck aren't you in school? He writes, I turned 15 in March. Well, God damn it, Gabe. Are you like in school listening to this shit, or are you like not in school today? Are you ill or are you ditching? What the fuck is going on? If I have to, I'm going to call your dad and get him in here. He says, I'm in Spanish class right now listening to you while doing my work. Okay, well, we'll just keep this low key right now. I don't want you to get in trouble. And I know you excel at Spanish because I'm pretty sure that's your first language. I'm not 100% on that. But I know that most of the people that you run with speak Spanish. Fuck. When we do our paintball events, it's mostly Spanish-speaking people. There's like five white guys, and the rest are all from Mexico and Honduras. That's surprising. He says, I barely know it, yet I still got to learn. Boy, how the hell can you live with Spanish-speaking family members and friends, and you barely know Spanish, you dick. I also love the fact that you're 14 and enjoying this show. That makes me happy. You know, it's very important that you spread the word amongst your young friends, because if I can win favor with young people, that ensures years of audience down the road. And that's key. Longevity when it comes to doing what I do. If my audience is progressively getting older and with no young audience to replace them, and then they're dying off at an alarming rate, then I'm out of business. He says, I listen every night. It puts me right to sleep. Okay, now that makes me want to smack the taste out of your mouth. All right. Anyway. This is a perfect example of what my life is like on a regular basis. We're moving on to a different topic. At any one given time, on any spot on my social media, I will get interactions like the one I'm about to show you. So typically, you know, I'll post on Facebook or Twitter like, hey, here's my latest show, you know. And that was the case last week. Jeremy says, Chris says, easy, teach him forbidden Spanish. Yeah, that's a great point. Gabe Jr., since you barely know it, I can teach you various things in Spanish. Like, blurt out right now in the classroom, tu madre es una puta, and see what the instructor does when you yell out, tu madre es una puta. That means, God bless all mothers. That's what you're saying there, and your teacher will be like, what a sweet thing, you have learned Spanish. What a wonderful thing to say. I'm so happy that you said that. And that's what Jeremy says. It's a perfect learning opportunity. So, tu madre es una puta is what you need to say. Or you can follow up with becha la chingala, cabrón, which doesn't mean eat my ass while I'm shitting. No, actually, it doesn't. That means go fuck yourself. Gabe, 14-year-old Gabe, I almost said gay, and I did say gay. 14-year-old Gabe writes, hey, easy, fuck you. My teacher is sending me to the office. Well, good, you little fucker. I mean, you shouldn't be listening to this shit while you're doing in the goddamn classroom, you fucking moron. Can you email or send pictures of whatever? I don't know, your view from the office as you sit there waiting to get fucking yelled at, you little dick. Holy shit, that's awesome. Your dad's going to hear this later in the day, and he's going to be like, what the fuck? You are so busted. All right, getting back to what I was talking about. This is like a screenshot of my show from January 9th. Top story, Kelly Cheese finally rips Easy a new one. Easy Live Thursday, January 9th, 2024. This is a screenshot. If you were to click on it, it would start playing. And then yesterday I got this from this guy, Tom James. Out of the blue, he writes, you obviously have a pathetic life. And I wrote, LOL, why would you say something like that? Now, I did not expect, I thought I was going to be strapping in for a good fight. You know, I was getting ready to lob some insults at this fat fuck. You know, I'm getting ready to take a still shot of this picture right here and say, why are you abusing this horse? As he's horseback riding and he's fat as fuck. So I was getting ready for that action. And then a short time later, I noticed that he weighed in again. And I'm like, here we go. This is when we get into the fight. And he writes, Eric Zane, I'm sorry. I work a very difficult job in the oil fields of Wyoming. I got off early. He meant to write drank, dank a few beers, and went down a rabbit hole of one asshole talking shit on another. I should not have commented. So in one way, he's like apologizing. And this is only an hour later. Went down a rabbit hole of one asshole talking shit on another. So he's calling me an asshole, but he's still apologizing, right? Am I getting this right? Or do you think he's sincere in this apology? I think he's actually sincere in this apology. I don't mind if he calls me an asshole. I mean, I kind of am. If anybody calls me an asshole, it's usually because I deserve it. There's been no dodging my assholishness. I embrace that, you know. So I wrote, LOL, no worries. Because 21 hours ago, he wrote, you obviously have a pathetic life. And then 20 hours ago, less than an hour later, he says, I'm sorry. And then blames it on I work a very difficult job in the oil fields of Wyoming. I don't think I have ever had a bad day at work and then decided to go be mean to someone because I had a bad day at work. That's ridiculous. David is here. He says, I missed the beginning of the show. What is the update on your weight loss? He's talking to Big Jeremy. Yeah, and then Jeremy gives him the news. If you were checking it out earlier, he is down again to 275.6. You know that in a matter of weeks, we'll be talking about you approaching 100 pounds. Once you get to down 75, I consider that to be approaching 100 pounds. And right now, you are 2/10 of a pound from being away from 60. Like in 3 or 4 weeks, 3 to 5 weeks, probably closer to 5, you'll be 75 pounds down. Now we're talking about you inching your way to 100. Wow. People are talking about Kenny. Jeremy says no word from Kenny. Amanda's down a few. She's down 5+ her first week. Tofus asked, did Kenny just give up? We do not know. We don't know. Jeremy says, blows my mind that I'm still doing this. Yeah, keep at it. Have a strong day today. Follow it up with some serious work. Change nothing. You already know how to do this. The hard part is over. Change nothing. Tofus with a comment about our guy who throws me under the bus because he had a bad day at work. He knew he was being a cocksucker and he used his job as an excuse. Right. I think that's kind of worse, don't you? Yeah, I had a bad day, so fuck you. Fucking morons. Radio story time. Old radio story. On the radio today, my pal JC had a question for the audience that I read. Do you have any old stickers of rock bands? It's National Sticker Day. And that, and somebody posted a picture of the infamous, some of you, maybe one or two, know what this is, WRIF bumper sticker. This is one of the greatest marketing campaigns in the history of anything. The radio station, their logo was of a particular design. As time passed, they got the bright idea to use the same font on the same background, but different colors of various bands. So what started out as just the logo of the radio station became all of the rock bands that they played, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, The Who, and a lot of them actually used band logos or fonts in addition to their own. Fast forward. First of all, I'm a little kid. As soon as I started listening to the radio, I was all about the stickers. You love the stickers. And you want to get your hands on them as much as you can. So, like, at any one point, I would get my hands on a WRIF bumper sticker and I'd put it on the back of like my mom or my dad's car, unbeknownst to them. So they're riding around with like an AC/DC bumper sticker on there, Bob Seger. Like, what the fuck is this? Holy shit. And these were good stickers. These didn't want to come off. All throughout my teens, I've got a quest to get these goddamn stickers. I enter college. One of the classes is radio internship. You get college credit and you work a summer at a radio station. What radio station did I apply at? WRIF. I get a phone call. Never forget the guy's name, Tom Sarna. I think he still might be bopping around somewhere around in radio. I don't know, maybe not. He's hiring all those summer interns. He hires me. He goes, all right, let me show you what you're going to be doing. And he leads me into the sticker room. And I'm like, what the fuck? And there's on the wall, the whole wall is different like cubbies with letters on them. So A is AC/DC, Aerosmith, and they're divided by band for each letter. And so there's literally thousands of bumper stickers, not stuck, but ready to be given away. He goes, all right, your job is to take this mail, and it's a stack of mail like 5 feet tall, open it up, and grab the self-addressed stamped envelope that the audience member sent into us, and take what they request. It's a note. They read a note. I'd like Genesis, Ted Nugent, and the Ramones. Get those stickers, put them in there, lick the envelope, and put it in this pile. That's your job. And I'm like, yes, fuck! fuck yes. I'm loving this job. Nobody wants this goddamn job. I want this job. You don't get paid, nothing like that. And every day I come in, I'm like, oh, yes, fuck, man. It's like I got a hard on the whole damn time. And then, excuse me, hang on. All of a sudden, I hear this bitchy-ass voice come up behind me. Hey! Hey, you! I turn around, and it's the news lady on the morning show. I'm like, yeah? Come here! I'm like, holy fucking shit. I come out, and her name's Lynn Woodison. Such a royal bitch. Fucking horrible human being. And so she goes, we need an intern on the morning show. You want this job? And I'm like, now the only thing I would want more than to be sticker guy would be to be affiliated with Ken Calvert, the late great Ken Calvert, who is now deceased. And I'm like, yeah. So I instantly went from sticker guy to intern of the morning show. Now, that was literally right place, right time. And all those other interns, they would die to be where I'm at. But I am now, I've gone from, there's like 30 interns, from shithead bottom of the pile to carte blanche. I'm A number one. And so my job was to get coffee, make sure that the guests are situated. I'm not kidding you. Check on their cars. Like Calvert had this like fucking hot rod, and he's like, hey, every hour, can you go out in the parking lot and check on my car? Make sure it's okay. I go, yeah, sure. Sure thing, Ken. And so that was my gig for the whole fucking summer. 1990 or 91. Well, I got to get quite on a first name basis with these people. They know me. I love Ken. Lynn's a bitch, but I don't tell her that. Okay? And she's mean to everybody. She's a goddamn rattlesnake. She is so fucking mean to everybody there. Fast forward, by the way, tangent on the story. It was during this internship near the end of it that Calvert achieved a number one rating. And at about that same time, his contract expired. And they were at a stalemate in negotiations. And he ended up walking and went over to WLLZ. Chris says, was this before the high school station? No, this is during college, Chris. I told you it was for college credit. You were even listening to my words. Come on now. Pay attention, young man. So, Calvert quits. They got to get a replacement show. The program director calls on this show called Drew and Zip. And that becomes Drew and Mike. And they bring them in. This is now, I've since left. My internship ended. Drew and Mike, well, at the time, Drew and Zip. Zip eventually left and Mike took over and became an incredible run in Detroit. Lynn, of course, treats them like shit. At one point, she says, the only reason why they hired you was because your resume was the top of the stack. So, holy fuck. I mean, just a rude, rude, angry asshole. You, in my opinion, you really got to be work. You really got to work if you're a woman and you're referred to as an asshole. But Lynn is an asshole. Well, anyway, my internship ends. And again, I don't tell Lynn she's an asshole. So she thinks we're tight, you know? I'm like, fuck you. You're a fucking idiot. Fast forward to 1998. So we're talking 8 years after the fact. I get offered the job at Riff to fill in for Drew. They've been there that whole goddamn time. Drew takes an extended leave of absence. They ask me to take the goddamn job. Literally give me the keys to the Cadillac. I'm like, what? Lynn has since left that show. She's on another show in the same building on the sister station, WCSX. I come walking into the radio station my first day, and the first person I run into is Lynn. And I go, Lynn, how are you? She goes, Eric, how are you? I go, I'm doing okay. And she goes, what are you doing? I go, well, I work here now. She goes, oh, another internship? I go, oh, boy, I got a chance to make her look like a real fuck face. Now, Drew and Mike is the number one show with a bullet at this point, and I am walking into this. And I go, no, I'm just filling in for Drew. I'm taking over mornings on Riff. And she's like, the look I'm giving you is the look she gave me. She can't fucking believe it. See you later. Walk away. That's it. Done. That was probably the only redeeming moment in that span on that radio station, because it was an absolute disaster. I did my very first show on there. And there's a writer for the Detroit Free Press. He's dead now. His name is Bob Talbert. My fragile ego. The next day, he gets on there and he lights my ass up. He writes a whole fucking column about how much of a pile of shit I am on that show. And I'm like, oh, fucking shit. Oh, my God. I'm ruined. Oh, it was so bad. Everybody hated me. For 3 months, everybody talked shit about me. Fucking Howard Stern was calling the show Who and Mike. And he was right. It was terrible. Some of you like my radio stories. I like giving them. So hopefully that was entertaining to you. Anyway, it dried up. And then I left and eventually went down to Tennessee. The guy who hired me in Tennessee was the guy who hired Drew and Mike at the Riff. What? Yeah. It all is weird radio shit, man. So bizarre. The thing about the Howard thing, they would, Howard would be on at the same time as us, and then he would record a promo, or the local producers in Detroit. This is on a station known as 97.1. It's now The Ticket in Detroit. And at the time, it was K-Rock. I'm driving home from another shitty show, and I just happen to turn on K-Rock. And they're playing a promo that airs later in the day. Hey, if you missed Howard on K-Rock, you missed this. And it's Howard blowing up me. I'm like, oh, fucking shit. God, what the fuck? What have I done? Oh, 28 years old. Oh my God, Poomer. Now just tough it out. You're going to be fine. Shut up.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, my God. I couldn't even drink at the time. I was sober. It made me strong. That's how I can put up with shit now. When people rip me a new asshole, I'm like, eh, whatever. I had Howard Stern talk shit about me. Fuck you. You think this is a problem? Imagine riding around hearing Howard Stern say, oh, yeah, there's losers on the air on the Who and Mike show. Ah, oh, my God, fucking shit. Jeremy writes, easy, have you listened to the History of Riff podcast? It's like 10 episodes, and they interviewed a ton of guys. Drew, Arthur, the news lady. It's great. Yes, I did. I listened to every one of those. I love the Calvert one. It's my Calvert was my mentor. Fast forward years down the road, I ran into him at Novak's funeral, and I'm like, hey. And he had heard of Freebird Hot Wings show, so we hit it off. And we became fast friends. But then the weirdest thing happened, because I would talk to Ken regularly. And then one day, it's like, I don't know if he got a bad report about me or something, but it just dried up. We would like actually hang out. We went to go see Kathleen Madigan at the comedy, what's the name of that fucking place? Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle in Royal Oak. It was fucking great. Went out to eat, had a ball. And then, like, I never heard from him again. What the fuck did I do? He's dead now. I can't ask him. David says Arthur and Ken were legends. That was at a time when, radio had legendary announcers on it. It'll never happen again, unfortunately, because of the state of the industry. In fact, I will link up the History of Riff podcast in the show notes, since Jeremy brings it up. And in the event that someone wants to check that out, for those of you that actually are familiar with the station, it's a lot more poignant to listen to. But all of those talents on there is what drove me to want to get into radio. That's why I was like, oh, God, this is so fucking cool. And there was a guy named Charles Lampinen. Lampinen was on the radio in Detroit. And then he went to Cousin O High School, WPHS, to run the radio program. And my high school started in 10th grade, but in 9th grade, I'm in junior high, and he wants to recruit people for the radio program. So there's like five of us in a goddamn room. We want to be on the radio, and he just started talking with us. So we were entered into the radio program at that point. And then that's it. That was at that point. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And he's since deceased, but he was a legend too. And I'll never forget the level of body odor on this guy. It was debilitating how bad he smelled. And it wasn't from his body. He didn't clean his clothes properly. He would oftentimes wear suits. And, you hang the jacket back up. But over time, if you don't get that fucking thing clean, it's going to stink, and you're going to become nose blind to it. And we were like, Jesus Christ. So he was, we would, because he smelled so bad, I would, two things he had going against him. He was a boss and he stunk. And so I'm going to make fun of him all goddamn day. So I'm making characters on the show based on his odor and his, he's running the radio station. So Stinky Chuck was born. I don't have audio of this, but he was a character and he's, and he would listen to the segments and go, boy, that is funny. Boy, that is really funny what you do with Stinky Chuck. I go, oh, thanks, Mr. Lampinen. Yeah. So we would actually write the bit. And I would, Stinky Chuck would interview people. It was fucking great. And this dumb fuck had no goddamn clue that it was him. Then we used to do a bit on that radio. This is in 10th grade now. Or me and Glenn Hiska would do a bit where we would play like Smash or Trash. And you'd play a song. And if we didn't like it, we would trash it. And so the bit was we didn't like any of the songs. So we would play the songs. And this is a vinyl record. And then he would be to my left on his knees. And his microphone would be up to him. And you're wondering why. And I am not kidding you. And he was the kicker for the high school football team, by the way. Glenn Hiska. He's still around to this day. And the song would suck. And I would lift the needle, Smash or Trash. And Glenn would go, Trash! And I'd take the record and hit him over the goddamn head with it. And you'd hear, there's nothing better than the sound of a vinyl record exploding into a billion pieces. And you'd hear it like hitting the ground and just flying, hitting the walls. And so Mr. Lampinen comes in after about 25 records. And you can't even see the carpeting. And it's just shattered records everywhere. And he has a fucking heart attack. Well, this was the end of me for 10th grade. I was kicked out of the radio program. So for 11th grade, I did no radio. It wasn't until 12th grade that I did radio. How did I get back in? Groveling. I really wanted to do this, and I knew I had to be practicing. So I said, look. And we had a long talk. My mother came in. Mr. Lampinen was there. And the motherfucker, I wish I had a clothespin on my nose, but I had to tell him how sorry I was. And he goes, if I see one broken piece of record, you're out. I go, Mr. Lampinen, don't worry. So immediately started doing Stinky Chuck all over again. And never did I break. I did not break a record, though. But, yeah, that got me back into the radio program and continued on with the growth process of being a better radio personality. Chris says we should do a Who Are These Zanes sometime soon. These stories are great. You know, you're right. I've been thinking about that. We got to get back after Who Are These Zanes and fucking fast. Chris says, didn't you initially go to Central for the cardiac thing too? How was the switching back to radio? I went... I did radio in high school, and I knew I wanted to do it, but then I went to Central. The only reason why I went to Central is because that was the only school that would accept me. I scored a 17 or an 18 on the ACT, and I applied to several schools. The only one to accept me, and I went there, and then right away was consumed with, because I took all general education classes. I did not even know at that point in time that Central was a prolific college for media. It's the college for media. People come from all over the world to go to Central for television and radio. I had no fucking clue. It was dumb luck that I happened to be accepted to that school. All of my classes for semester one were university program, general education. And then midway through the first semester, I walk by the radio station. I go, oh, holy shit, they have a radio station. Not only did they have a radio station, they had two radio stations and a TV station. Like, holy shit, this place has got everything. This is great. I can do this. I did it before. So then I immediately dialed into the radio program right after that. All in. And then once I worked on the radio there, I got my little demo tape and I sent it off to Z93, stations 40 minutes away to the east. And then boom, right away got a job. I was getting paid. It was me on the radio with Pooh Bear getting fresh poon, working at McDonald's with Pooh Bear. It was fucking great. What a time. Then I got the job, full-time job at Z93 and quit school. Fuck it. I don't need school. I don't need broadcasting. I already have the job. Then I got bored. Being the tune man, went back to school for something entirely different. Kept the radio job, and then here I am. That's the really glossed over version. Adam Schwab says, did you ever have a class with Jerry Henderson? Well, of course. He ran the radio station, Dr. Henderson. This guy was a fucking legend. I'm going to tell you why as soon as I catch up on these sponsors. All right. You're going to love the Jerry Henderson stories. God damn. I used to bust his balls too, just like we did with Stinky Chuck. Thank you to Frank Fuss at My Policy Shop Insurance. So if you need help signing up for Obamacare, hang on, I got to write myself a note. I just reminded myself. I had a conversation about Frank in the car this weekend. If you need help signing up for Obamacare, and everybody does because it's a pain in the ass, call Frank. People who need Obamacare are people who need to access healthcare.gov. It's kind of a several terms for one thing. Healthcare.gov, Obamacare, the marketplace, that's all the same thing. So in order to get healthcare on the marketplace, it's a little bit of a time-consuming process to fill out all the information. Have Frank do that for you. He does it for free. It's a 15-minute phone call. He takes care of everything you need. He'll ask you a bunch of questions. You answer. Next thing you know, by the end of the phone call, you've got insurance through the marketplace. How do I qualify? How do I this? How do I that? Just reach out to him, and he'll answer all of your questions. Buyinsurancehere.com. He also specializes in Medicare, Social Security planning. Make sure you get the best of all of the things that you are entitled to upon retiring. He can also help you with a life insurance policy like he did for Pooh Bear and myself. Go to buyinsurancehere.com. Let's see. Also, thank you to King's Room Barbershop. They've got three locations, Caledonia, Northland Drive, and at 821 36th Street in Wyoming, Michigan. They've been cutting hair for dudes and chicks who like short hair for more than 50 years. All walk-ins. You won't wait any more than 10 minutes, no matter what time you go in. They've got a number of people that are working there, and they just hammer them out. Professional stylists wanting to cut your hair. More information at kingsroom.net. That's kingsroom.net for exact locations and schedules. Kuiper Tree Care in West Michigan. If you have any tree issues, perhaps you want to trim a tree, prune it. You got a tree fall down in the winter. You want to remove a tree, they can do that too. Stump grinding, tree risk assessment, anything like that. They can help you at Kuiper Tree Care. Their website, KuiperTreeCare.com, K-U-I-P-E-R, TreeCare.com. In West Michigan, call 616-828-8225. And finally today, Werner Roofing. Online at WernerRoofing.com. They put a new roof on our house here. I did a whole show while they were on the roof raising five kinds of hell. It was an incredible show. Lots of banging. 616-844-5382 for Werner Roofing. When you go to their website, WERNERroofing.com, you fill out the information, and then they'll reach out to you by the end of the day. There's a spot where there's like notes. If you could mention me or if when you're talking to the folks from Werner Roofing, please mention me so that I get credit that you heard about it on my show. WernerRoofing.com. So the guy who ran the radio program, Jerry Henderson, was this big, tall dork. He's a fucking weird-looking dude. He's dead as hell now. But he ran the radio program just like Chucky did in high school. So he was, you know, immediately I'm honing in on characters to do about him. That's one thing that has been a constant throughout my life. Get the job and then go after who's running it. All right? Right away. Set up shop. And so we've got all sorts of characters about him running the radio station because he ran it like an idiot. And he also taught class there. And I had several classes with this fucking dork. And one of the things we picked up on that was a focus of the comedy was that he was porking one of the students. So some chick, she rises the ranks of stardom in the program because she's having sex with the guy. And lo and behold, they fucking got married. Now, you can't do this in high school, but in college, it's just like fucking, you can do anything. So Jerry's getting tons of fresh fucking pussy. And they get married and they had a kid. Now, Jerry was old as fuck when I was there. He had to have been like 60 years old or some shit. Jesus Christ, he's walking around with a baby. We're like all grossed out by this. This is fucking horrible. This ugly bitch that he met, she was horrible. It's ugly bitch. She's walking around thinking she was fucking king bitch, and she was because she's having sex with the guy. It was just the weirdest fucking thing in the world. But man, did we have fun making fun of that. And then he ended up croaking. His kid's got to be like 35 now. And just an ugly child, too. So if you are the son of Dr. Henderson and you're by chance watching this, you are ugly as fuck. Well, maybe not now, but you sure were then. I'm just letting you know that. Your dad was creepy as shit, too, with that action. God damn it. So weird. All right. That is my, and everybody, when Jerry died, like, oh, my God, Jerry. And I'm like, God, fuck, he had sex with one of the students there. So weird. God. All right. Let's see how much time we got. We got plenty of time. Plenty of time. A local TikTok creator is pissed off because the impending doom of TikTok. And I'm not so sure TikTok's done. I think Trump's going to get involved in this somehow. It's looking more and more like the Supreme Court. At first, I didn't think it was going to happen, but it's looking like that law is going to be upheld. And on the 19th, the day before the inauguration, TikTok has to go away. There are actually a number of creators. This one in particular, she's described as making aggressive cooking tutorials. And right away, I was like, what the fuck is an aggressive cooking tutorial? Does that mean she's like, hey, fucking add the cumin, asshole. Fry it for 3 minutes, dick. That sounds like something actually I would do. Anyway, she's got aggressive cooking tutorials and 3.6 million followers. Let's see what's going on here.
The Supreme Court seems likely to uphold a law that would ban TikTok in the U.S. Justices hearing arguments today over free speech protections and national security. Chief Justice John Roberts identified the main concern as TikTok's ownership by China-based ByteDance and the parent company's ties to the Chinese government.
So are we supposed to ignore the fact that the ultimate parent is in fact subject to doing intelligence work for the Chinese government. It seems to me that you're ignoring the major concern here of Congress, which was Chinese manipulation of the content and acquisition and
So he's saying, like, that's actually what's happening. Are we 100% sure that China is, in fact, doing that? Or is that just what we think?
Harvesting of the content.
In April, Congress passed a law requiring TikTok's parent company to either sell the app or face it being shut down. Now, that law is set to take effect on January 19th, unless the high court were to temporarily block it. Now, while we are still waiting on a final decision to be made, we do know that President Trump has filed an amicus brief urging the courts to temporarily pause the ban before it takes effect. TikTok has an estimated 170 million users in the U.S., and there are countless content creators who make a living off the platform. Our Julie Dunmeyer spoke with one local mom with millions of followers to hear her thoughts on the potential ban.
Where I'm standing is TikTok famous. 3.6 million people watch Jess from Aggressive Tutorials cook right here. But she's concerned about what the Supreme Court hearing today means for her and her family and for others like her.
I am in a deep, dark hole of sourdough.
Known for her aggressive cooking tutorials.
We're going to do one loaf at a time.
TikTok creator and West Michigander Jessica Seacrest is concerned.
I always say it feels like this is my home. It's this beautiful sandcastle that I've built. And it's about to be washed away.
Baking is a science, but you can also make it your own.
Worried for the future of her business and for the many creators like her.
TikTok cannot speak unless ByteDance executes a qualified divestiture.
Listening along as the Supreme Court hears arguments on whether to uphold a law that would ban TikTok in the U.S.
And the thing that I think is scaring the government about TikTok is the algorithm. But that's what's also been so helpful of me, having people find me, is people see me and they see themselves in me.
And I really hope
I don't see myself in you.
TikTok's not the end. I'm getting a little stressed.
I see five of me in you.
About it.
For Jess, a wife and mother of two, her family's future.
Maybe 10 of me and you.
Sure, is in the hands of the government.
Chickens.
I actually cracked myself up with that one. I really laugh at my own jokes, but that was great.
TikTok is banned and TikTok is no more. I will lose my access to a 3.6 million people audience who follow me for.
What's so aggressive about these tutorials?
Relatability, everyday life. And I lose the access to being heard and sharing my life and sharing my recipes and, you know, bringing joy to a lot of people's lives. But I also lose a lot of income.
This about more than the money. It's about the community she's created and stands to lose.
A lot of people, I am their, like, end of night after a long day. It's been a horrible day and they just need a little bit of entertainment to help them unwind.
This is what they look like inside.
Saying it's not just about her. She's found a following on other social media sites, but she worries for others who haven't.
Yeah, she'll have no problem. She's got millions of people on YouTube, Facebook. So, I mean, ultimately, she'll be fine.
A lot of people have been relying,
I think,
on this for years. A lot of small businesses generate a lot of income.
But she is right. I mean, if you think about it, people make money any way they can. And that's a changing environment. And if technology allows people to do this, fuck, man. People like her aren't going to care if, like, this company does, in fact, get sold, which would make sense. She isn't going to give a shit if, like, Elon Musk buys TikTok. So ultimately, the worst thing that can happen is that TikTok actually go away. That all these people who count on this, it just dries up.
I had a meeting with TikTok last week, and they estimated that this could cost in the first month alone hundreds of millions of dollars to small businesses. That's not a small number.
Of course it's good. I made it. Follow along for more aggressive tutorials.
So like we said, Jess has multiple platforms that she uses on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook.
I like the, of course it's good, I made it.
Diversify where you can find her so people can hopefully still find her if this does in fact go through. We'll of course link those with this story on our website. Reporting, Julie Dunmeyer, Fox 17 News.
I think she needs to join us on Fatathon. You know, she can do the aggressive tutorials. But Nick says she needs to switch to an aggressive workout channel. Maureen says, I happen to enjoy her TikToks. I think she's funny and smart and entertaining. Oh, I don't doubt it. 3.7 million people? Are you kidding me? That doesn't happen because she sucks. Maureen says, how about we don't body shame her? She's just a mom making some money on social media. Okay, look, you cannot pick and choose where the jokes go on here. Okay? I've had this lecture. I had to give you this lecture before. Jokes are jokes, and they will be made. You can't just sit around and go, only make fun of things that I don't like. You know? You can't do that. That is not appropriate in any way, shape, or form. Everybody gets it. And that body shaming is another clever way of saying jokes. So you're going to have to fucking grow up, all right, Maureen? That's nonsense. Everybody gets it on the chin around here. That's part of the charm of the show. So for the rest of the day, here's your instruction tutorial. Aggressively shut up. Linda nominates Maureen for asshole of the day. Oh, big time. She's a huge asshole. Don't make fun of something I like. For that crack, let's hope for a few more dogs chained up outside today. See how that goes and make it so much worse. Ladies and gentlemen, in response to Maureen being a sensitive, see you next Tuesday. Everybody lock their dog up outside and don't feed it. That's what we need to do today to make Maureen pay for this bullshit she's putting me through for doing my job. You loser. What the fuck? Oh, God, I cannot believe that just happened. Jesus Christ. Maybe the worst display of pussification we've seen in quite some time. Let's go over this lady's, one of these other videos that no doubt made her millions of dollars. Because I think a lot of what she does is just bullshit. This is from her YouTube channel. This is, I don't even remember her fucking name.
Screening small children is the bane of my existence, and my mom ruined my life by making my children ask for the sunscreen to be put on nice like grandma does it. So this thing helps me put sunscreen on nice like grandma does it. You fill up the top with liquid cream sunscreen, sun lotion, and then there's a rollerball in here. And look how easy it is to apply it to kids' faces. They don't even complain anymore.
Kids are like, Mom, can you just blot out the sun for us by standing here? Wouldn't that be easier?
This is my child. She doesn't squirm much.
That's her child?
Is it tickling? Mm-mm. Do you like it?
That kid got the genetic lottery on that one.
All sunscreened up.
That's the kid?
Up and ready to-
The kid looks older than Mom. David says more aggressive eating. Maureen says her name is Jessica and then gives me eye roll. Linda, who's a legend, says, I'm just over here minding my own business, not telling Eric how to do his show. Maureen says that's her friend, not her kid. Well, that's not what she said, didn't she?
With liquid cream sunscreen, sun lotion, and then there's a rollerball in here, And look how easy it is to apply it to kids' faces. They don't even complain anymore.
This is my child. She doesn't squirm much.
Oh, okay. She was being sarcastic. I get it now. I thought that was like her kid. All right. Well, apparently, yeah, Maureen knows everything there is about this channel. Now I want Tic Tac. I sound like Freebird. Now I want Tic Tac to be banned after this conversation. Let us get into the asshole of the day. It's never good when there's assholish behavior so close to the asshole of the day, because I don't remember what I talk about on this show. The asshole of the day Friday was Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. Jeremy is saying asshole of the day, Kenny, 100%. Bob says neighbor who gave the dollar. And then, of course, we just had Maureen here. Don't make fun of stuff that I like. Yeah, this is a cancel culture free area. The dollar neighbor is the asshole of the day. Maureen writes, thank God for cheap neighbor. That is my time. Thank you for checking out the Eric Zane Show podcast. Please follow me on Twitch at Eric Zane Live, all one word. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. And sign up and try the Patreon for 7 days free. Everybody's doing it. You should too. That will make my day if I see so-and-so is trying 7 days free. Thanks again, folks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Now Taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.